Now we come to the beginning of the thousand-year period of time, and according to the book of Revelation, the first thing to happen is that Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that old dragon, the serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. There's much in those three verses for us to consider. First of all, this is going to be the very first time in history that Satan is going to be bound. Remember, Satan was originally known as Lucifer, the most prominent of all of those angels created by God, and Jesus Christ himself, who was the creator, placed Lucifer over all of creation. Well, Lucifer decided to rebel against God. And since that time, that would be Genesis chapter 3, since that time until Revelation chapter 20, all of those verses have been under a Satanocracy, no longer a theocracy. Listen to that just for a moment. You hear what I just said? I talked about the first three chapters in the Bible, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, under a theocracy. The last three chapters in the Bible, Revelation 20, 21, and 22, a theocracy. And between Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 20, a Satanocracy. And Satan has never been bound. There are a lot of people out there talking about binding Satan. That is not the case. There is no way anybody will bind Satan. Right here in the book before we come to Revelation is the book of Jude, and it talks about Michael the archangel in verse 9, who dare not tell Satan what to do. And Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him an accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Even Michael the archangel, and he would have much more power as it relates to being able to deal with Satan than you and me. And he would not confront Satan. Nobody has bound Satan. In the book of 1 Peter and chapter 5, we read that Satan, like a roaring lion, is around the world and devouring whomever he will. Satan has not been bound. He is not bound right now, and he will not be bound until the time of the beginning of the thousand-year millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ dispatches an angel. He chains up old Satan, puts him in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now, where's the bottomless pit again? The Bible does not give us information about that. I would suggest it maybe is one of those black holes in outer space someplace that we don't know a lot about. Whatever the case is, Satan is not going to be bound until Jesus Christ dispatches the angel to deal with him. Actually, what do we do as it relates to Satan if we don't bind him? Well, James has the answer to that. The book of James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us exactly what to do. It says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." We draw nigh unto God, we resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And Satan is going to continue to be active all of this time of history leading up to the beginning of the thousand-year millennial kingdom, when he will be bound for 1,000 years, only to be loosed at the end. Now, we're going to take a break and look at the reign of Jesus Christ, the kingdom to come, and then we'll find out how Satan is loosed and what happens as a result of him being loosed. We continue our study now of the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 4. Notice what John writes down as he observes from his position, I believe, in the heavenlies, watching what's going to happen in the future. Here's what John says, "And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast. In other words, they did not worship the Antichrist, neither his image, neither had they received his mark upon their foreheads or in their heads, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. That's where we get the 1,000-year kingdom period. It's called the millennium, of course, which means 1,000. This was promised way back in Old Testament times to the ancient Jewish prophets about this 1,000-year period of time. Well, the number 1,000 was not necessarily mentioned, but the idea of a kingdom. In fact, when Jesus Christ came to minister on the earth at age 30, John the Baptist was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When Jesus came near to John the Baptist where he was ministering, what did John say? Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. The truth is, when Jesus came, he offered the kingdom to the Jewish people. They rejected what John's message was. They rejected John, who was the Elijah who could have come. They rejected Jesus Christ, who was come to set up the kingdom. And thus then the kingdom was delayed in being implemented on the earth. But the kingdom will come as promised by the book of Daniel and the prophecy that God gave Daniel. In chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, let me just read a couple of passages of scripture from chapter 7, which will help us to understand what is going to happen. Verse 13, chapter 7. And I saw in the night vision, remember chapter 7 is Daniel about 70 years of age, who has a dream or a night vision, and here's what he saw. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, that would be Jesus Christ, came with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient of Days, that would be God the Father, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him, Jesus Christ, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting, that's that word olam that is connected with El Olam, the name for God, speaking about the eternality of God. And this is exactly what it's talked about when it's referring to the dominion and this everlasting dominion, the olam dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. And so the promise was given to Daniel, who would pass it along to the Jewish people, that God was going to give them a kingdom, and his son Jesus Christ would rule and reign from that kingdom. It's talked about in chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, which Daniel interpreted. He talked about the 10 toes of iron and clay that are similar to the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7, both of them referring to the revived Roman Empire. Now notice what he says in verse 44 of Daniel chapter 2. This is a blessed prophecy and a great promise. And in the days of these kings, referring to the revived Roman Empire, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. It'll be 1,000 years in duration as it relates to the end times, but that kingdom will go on forever and ever into eternity future. What's it going to be like during that kingdom? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about what the conditions on earth will be during that 1,000-year millennial kingdom. There's so much that we could speculate on. Let me just look at God's word with you just momentarily. In the book of Isaiah, we get several glimpses into this 1,000-year millennial kingdom and what is going to take place at that time. The promise is that there is going to be a kingdom. The people of the kingdom are going to come into existence from those who are living on the earth. And there will be those who will enter the kingdom, both Jews and or Gentiles. You might remember Matthew chapter 25, a continuation of the Olivet Discourse, after Jesus Christ gives evidence of what's going to be happening leading up to his second coming. Then he talks about the judgment for the Jewish people who live through the entire tribulation period, and the Gentile people who live through the entire tribulation period. There will be those at the end of the 7 years who have sustained life, and those who know Jesus Jesus Christ as their Messiah will enter in with physical bodies into the millennial kingdom. I'll get to Isaiah in just a second, but let me just share this thought with you. It talks about in the parable of the 10 virgins, a judgment of the Jewish people. There were 5 that had oil in their lamps, and there were 5 that were not prepared to go out to meet the bridegroom because they had no oil in their lamps. The text says in Matthew 25, to those 5 without oil, sorry, I never knew you, and depart from me. That is the judgment of the Jews that are alive at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, and those who have trusted Messiah Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior enter into the kingdom period with physical bodies. In that same chapter, Matthew 25, it talks about the judgment of the sheep and the goats. That would be the judgment for the living Gentiles. The sheep would be those who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they prove that by serving the Jewish people, the brethren of Jesus Christ. You can study through the passage of Scripture, and this will help you to better understand this judgment. The goats would be those lost Gentiles, and they would be placed in a location to wait for the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. Now, I say there will be those entering into the millennial kingdom with physical bodies. The book of Isaiah, chapter 65 and verse 20, says that they will even have children. A child will be up to 100 years of age, considered a child. And at that point, if they reject Jesus Christ, who will be the head of a theocracy at that point in time, and then they will be placed waiting for the judgment of the great white throne to take place as well. So that would be the promises and the people, the peace that is going to be during the millennial kingdom. Now, if you've found Isaiah, let me just show you a couple of verses here that help us understand what it's talking about. Here's the famous prophecy talking about the person of Jesus Christ, chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, here's his name, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, notice, the Prince of Peace. Often we're asked to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know what? Oh, that's Psalm 122, verse 6. When you actually are praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're not praying that there's going to be peace right now in history in Jerusalem. You're simply praying for the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, to come back, because the only true period of peace that will be on this earth is when Jesus Christ rules and reigns from the temple in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount during that time known as the millennial kingdom. Go over to chapter 11 in Isaiah, and let's continue to look at some of the information we have been able to glean from the scriptures pertaining to what it is going to be like during the millennial kingdom. Chapter 11, and let's look at verse 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. We're talking about some very venomous snakes, probably the cobra and maybe the viper would be the cockatrice. We're talking about poisonous snakes, but at that time, the children will be playing with these snakes, because God will change it as it was prior to the fall of man there in the Garden of Eden. Many of those animals that we talked about lying down together and being able to eat in separate times, most of the time the lion would eat up an ox, or vice versa, the bear would eat up a cow or a calf. Well, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful time of peace on the earth, as evidenced by how God will change the animal kingdom. Look at verse 9 of chapter 11 before we move away from Isaiah. They shall not hurt nor destroy in any way the holy mountain. Now, the holy mountain is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a blessed time it's going to be. They're going to lay down their weapons of war. They're going to pick up their plows, and they're going to cultivate this earth, and it's going to bring forth great fruit. It's going to be a marvelous time. I wish I had more to say about what is going to take place in that thousand-year millennial kingdom. One additional thought I want to bring to your attention. We talked about the reign of Christ, the promise, the people, the peace. What about the paradise? You know how it was when Jesus Christ had his theocracy in Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3? Well, they were in the Garden of Eden. May I suggest to you the Garden of Eden will be the location of the headquarters of Jesus Christ as he rules and reigns from the Garden of Eden located on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now you say, wait a minute, you're talking about the Garden of Eden being in Jerusalem? That's exactly what I'm talking about.